everybody. I'm Pastor AJ Houseman, and welcome to 10-Foot Pole, a podcast dig deeper into aspects of the Bible that get glossed over or totally ignored in most preaching. The Bible has a lot of parts that are racy, uncomfortable, and sometimes downright horrifying. Let's talk about it.
Got it.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 20. Today, our guest is Pastor Joe Grauman from St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Woodbury, New Jersey.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming back.
It's always fun because people ask me, like, well, how do you decide who you have back? And I was like, I don't know, if I feel like I like that person that day or just kind of like hit up, I just create this like long list of people that I like. I'm like, oh, I'm going to ask that person. Oh, I'm going to ask that person. And just who says yes?
Well, it's an honor to be nominated.
Well, I'm appreciative that you said yes again.
Of course.
It's actually really funny because the very first time that I tried to ask Joe to do this and I like sent him this invitation to be on the podcast, he thought it was like a weird spam thing that like someone had hacked my Facebook and couldn't figure out like why I was sending him these messages. Not spam.
Was I really that?
That or you're just trying really hard to ignore me, and I can be a little persistent sometimes. So
when did I think you were spam?
When I asked you the first time.
Okay. Well, I have no recollection.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Pastor Joe and I are going to talk about Pentecost, which I'll briefly touch about this, but to listen to some more Pentecost talk, you can go into season one and listen to episode 7 with Andrew Burdaw. That is another Pentecost episode that we have. In that episode, we focus more on kind of talking about the concept of Pentecostalism and of ecstatic speech stuff. So I'm going to briefly mention that today, but if you want to hear more in depth, please go listen to that one because Pastor Joe and I are going to talk about something else. But for this, we're going to talk about Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, which is like our primary thing that we talk about with Pentecost. Pentecost is one of our high holidays, if you will, to call it that. It's one of the big deal holidays in the church calendar.
Birthday of the church, baby.
That's right. And so, yeah, that's coming up here, and let's talk about it. So I'm going to read Acts 2, verses 1 to 21 in the New Revised Standard Version Updated Edition. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?"
And here's the hard part.
"Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning.'" Not sure why that matters. That part's not in the Bible. "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's so much going on in this Pentecost text that we have. So one of the things that we talked about last time that I just want to like very briefly just touch. So this idea that they're, quote, speaking in tongues is not, as some in some sort of Pentecostalist movements like to say, where they like babble in a static speech where it's just like not a recognizable language at all. But it is indeed the ability to speak different languages. So like they said, they're all Galileans. How is it that we from all over the world can understand them in our own native tongue? So the language here is heteroglossoios, which glossa just means language. And hetero just means different. So different languages. That it's not the traditional sort of a static speech. And if you would like to hear more about what a static speech is, other places that it exists in history, and some science behind it, because there is some, please go listen to season 1, episode 7. But that's all I'll say about a static speech here. Instead, let's talk about what this means. You talked about the birthday of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a, well, we, the church traditionally celebrates Pentecost as its birthday, as it's the giving of the Spirit, at least in the Luke Acts narrative, right? Of course, in John, it's in the empty room when he breathes upon them. Mm-hmm. But here, you know, all of the followers of Jesus are gathered into one room, and we have the rush of a violent wind and divided tongues as a fire. And thus the church is born.
It's just kind of interesting the way that like we talk about this as sort of like how it begins, right? The divided, you know, so the word here, the tongues, as we said it, like divided tongues. So some people have the sort of image of like a physical tongue, or like a, yeah, like a flame that just, yeah, like, right. Like a flame tongue. And right. You're like, no, because the word is not actually tongue. It's glossius, it's language. So as in divided languages. So anywhere where you see tongue in text, you can replace it with languages, mm-hmm. is really what that is, right? So a violent wind filled the house, divided languages as a fire appeared among them, and the languages rested on each of them. As in like, so do you know the way I view it actually? So like if you're playing a video game and, mm-hmm. you know, like they have like the level up or whatever, and you have to, and it's just like this glowy ball and you have to walk into it to get like the level up.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what I'm, that's how I envision this.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was a play on, well, I guess maybe like the English once upon a, like now. It's like a play on the word tongue.
No, isn't tongue like someone speaks in their native tongue?
But I'm, so
like
I don't
English
know,
is your native tongue?
Because I know in like other languages, like in French, in Latin, it can also mean like your physical tongue. Like it's the same word. And it's the same word, glossa.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, okay. So it's the same as Latin, Greek, French, other languages. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I love about this story, and like there's nothing less funny than someone in church claiming to be funny. And I love it. Like whenever there's like a little joke, a moment to be like, ha, ha, ha. And it's also like the action of the Lord. I love this text. And you know why? Because of the joke of like, these people are drunk with new wine.
I know,
and
that's
then
why
Peter stands up and he's like, they can't be drunk. It's only 9 a.m.
I know. I actually always struggled not to laugh there. And I did anyways when I read it. It's sort of like, Why does that matter? You never heard of breakfast wine, Peter?
Right, right. Like, as a native of Atlantic City, I am like, it is certainly possible to be drunk at 9 in the morning. I have.
But do you like the new wine? I feel like there's something there to that, that they're filled with new wine. New. Not a lot of wine, not something, but a new wine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like a lot of churches will often like divide this story and like have it read in different languages. And so it's often the reading itself becomes an occasion for levity. It reminds me of a legend in my home congregation where someone like you was like struggling to read this text, mm-hmm. and they got to the list of all of the different like ethnicities and peoples, and he was just like really struggling, like couldn't get through like Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and like stumbled over, and he's like Phrygia and Pamphylia, right? And then he just stops, has a big sigh, and goes, Jesus Christ. And the whole church lost it. Like, it was just so funny, you know, because like it could be hard to watch someone struggle to read and worship.
Oh, yeah.
And to like for him to just say that so honestly provided this really beautiful moment of levity. And the church was like, ah, it's hard.
It is. I always just tell people to say it confidently. Whatever you say, right. However it comes out, it's fine. Just say it confidently.
Right. Very rarely is there anyone from Pamphylia in the church
exactly.
who's going to
That's
be like, I can't believe you mispronounced my hometown.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
So the idea of this the Pentecost moment is, you know, it's the opposite or the undoing, or is it a new related to the story of the Tower of Babel? You want to say more about that?
I'm glad you brought it up, which I think so, you know, the lectionary, without wanting to get too into the weeds about lectionary this and lectionary that, but I think an alternate reading in one of the universes is the Tower of Babel, mm-hmm. like with Acts on Pentecost. And so, right, which if you're following along with your Holy Bibles at home is like Genesis 11, right? And it's a story of, you know, humankind has just like kind of been through the whole Noah thing and they're like starting out. And, you know, humanity generally is not great in Genesis. And so they're like, we want to be like God. And they build a huge tower to like hopefully get up to the heavens, right? A tower with its top in the heavens. Mm-hmm. And then the story is God scatters them and confounds their speech, right? That like there are different languages. And so there's lots of interpretations of this. And one of the kind of like standard golden oldie ones is that like we shouldn't try to be like God, and mm-hmm. so God punishes us by scattering us and giving us different languages. Some think of it as a myth, like how do we have all of these, you know, like why do we have all these languages, right? And and yet so people read Pentecost and they hear, oh, this might be the undoing of Babel, right? That like, okay, once upon a time, back, and this is super problematic, right? Like, but back before Jesus, God was different and humanity was different. And so God cursed us by these other languages. And in this interpretation, because of Jesus, and now everything's way better because Jesus, we're like all with the curse of Babel is undone. Like mm-hmm. we can all hear each other in our different languages as if they're native. So that's one interpretation. Very cool. Another one is that perhaps it's a new Babel in that the maybe it's not like such a hardcore curse, but the curse continues, right? Like we have diversity or maybe like the origin myth continues, right? We have diversity in the church. How do we have this diversity in the church? How do we worship one God, but God is enculturated in all of these new ways? And so it's like, oh, it's a new Babel but still kind of a problem, right? You know?
Yeah.
you and I were talking about diversity being a gift.
Yeah, and then like, why is, you know, necessarily is it a curse to have all of these different languages?
Right. Because certainly you might not see it as a curse, but certainly it comes with practical difficulties, right? You know, if I speak Swedish and you speak French, then we generally can't talk a whole lot about how overdone our croissant is, right? So, but also, I once upon a time heard a great, great sermon in seminary from a friend of mine, John O. Adams, if you're listening. He preached on the Tower of Babel itself and talked about actually the gift of diversity, that God gave us these languages and scattered us around the earth, both to like populate the earth and also that we may have these different languages and learn from each other, right? That the divided tongues or that diversity itself is a gift from God. And so, you know, if we're going to take that new interpretation of Genesis 11, we now have a new interpretation of Acts 2, right? That this idea that once again, we have the re-gifting of diversity for God's people and for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah, I like that. And I like, you know, it's not that like it's the undoing, right? Like it wasn't that all of a sudden the people weren't speaking all these different languages, that they didn't exist anymore, right? Like they're still from everywhere. They still have their own different languages and cultures. What it is it's the breakthrough of the Holy Spirit to allow them to communicate these gifts amongst the different like languages and cultures, et cetera, which is, you know, sort of this invitation into expansion as I think about it, right? That again, not wanting to get into like the supersessionist territory that because of Jesus, all of a sudden we have these things, but to sort of say that like our scriptures as we have them up until this point, because they come from a particular people in a particular place and time in a particular culture, are about the Israelites, the Jewish folks in Judea and Jerusalem in this area and to whom Jesus belongs, right? And it's this notion all of a sudden that the story expands. Not to say that like God all of a sudden was just for these people and now is for everyone, but to say that our understanding of the story had changed because of this moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that
like
makes
God
great.
Was already there, but again, these people that we follow, a particular group of people through their course of history and relationship with God, now have expanded their mindset. So it's not that God expanded, it's that the people expanded their ability.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally resonate with you, right? And it's not like a new different God, like this one is now touchy-feely, you know, this one likes us now, but yes, like our understanding, and I think right, like there is a newness, a distinctiveness that comes with like the proclamation of Christ died and risen, and while this doesn't undo this, it is yet another new expression, right? We change our understanding, and certainly our understanding of who's in and out is expanded for sure.
Yeah,
I like what you said too, that like we're not all just speaking the same language. Like it's that, you know, I wouldn't want to be a part of a community that forced me to like assimilate into the majority. Right. Yeah. And frankly, I don't think that that's a vision of God's kingdom, that, you know, we're all the same, like those little green toys in Toy Story that are like one of us, three eyed aliens. But rather, right, that like there's understanding with this distinction, with this.
Yeah. And just that, right. So, I mean, that continues to sort of their theme throughout that, right. Was it like it happened recently in sort of a baptism story, right? Like, what's preventing me from getting baptized? Was that this week?
Stop it. Yeah, we just had.
And by this week, I mean the week that we're recording, because I was like, I just read this, right?
We just read it in church. You're right. It's definitely a recording thing. Acts 8, my favorite, the Ethiopian eunuch. If you don't like this story, I'm sorry, you're an enemy of the gospel. It's just how it is.
You know, the language here, what prevents me from being baptized in this? And so that's what I think that goes along with the same thing around the Pentecost thing, right? That like, this is God breaking down barriers.
Yes. Yeah. 100% breaking down barriers. And in a new,
what is it to prevent you from hearing the good news? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Right. And that's why I'm scrolling and.
And then it continues as we get into, like, you know, Paul's writing. It's sort of like, you know, you don't have to become Jewish first, right, in order to become a Christian and a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and right, Luke and Acts is full of this debate over whether or not you have to be Jewish first, or whether or not you have to be in the in crowd. Of course, what you mentioned, right, the Ethiopian eunuch, what's to be prevent me from being baptized. That's a story of, look, these it's like the far foreigner, right? And as Paul says, there's neither male and female, and as a eunuch, right, he didn't fit anything. And here, yeah, it's the hearing of the gospel. You also have like this big time element, this apocalyptic element, right? The quoting of the prophet Joel, you know, that that everybody, right, the spirit upon all flesh.
Yeah,
not just the folks with, I'm wearing a clerical shirt, the folks with the funny white square on their neck, right? Or the folks who happen to speak the right language, or happen to worship on the right mountain, or happen to look a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, when we talk about Pentecost, like, that's the gift of why we celebrate the birthday of the church here. And for a lot of folks, celebrate this also as a confirmation day. So an affirmation of baptism, where our young adults, like those, and by young adults, I mean, teenagers, you know, sort of affirm their baptism, that someone, you know, made promises for them when they were a baby. And now they get to say, yeah, I still believe in those. I agree with that, what those people said for me a long time ago. And to go with it, right? So this idea of we pair that intentionally with Pentecost as sort of like this birthday thing.
Oh, for sure, right? Well, so I'm like about to, you know, mark my first confirmation class, confirmation in this new call, and. You know, the idea we teach in, oh my gosh, I'm getting so Lutheran now, but you know, what do you have to teach in confirmation is often the Bible, which is fun. We all agree. And Luther's small catechism, which is interesting, but you know, like the whole thing, right? Like Luther in his explication to the third article, right? Like, I believe that I cannot come to believe in Jesus Christ except for the Holy Spirit, right? Those kids are there making their confirmation. Of course, they're saying, yeah, sounds good, count me in. But as Lutherans, we confess, right? Without that Holy Spirit doing her work, you know, they wouldn't be able to say, count me in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super fitting that we affirm our baptisms on this day.
Do you know what's, we don't, as Lutherans especially, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. Like, we do get, like, really Jesus heavy. The things that Jesus did, the things that he said, what he wore, you know, the color of his sandals, like, very much care about every little thing that, like, teeny tiny little thing that Jesus does. But we don't spend enough time, I think, talking about the Spirit and sort of, like you just said, like, we can't do any of this without the Spirit, and we don't talk enough, I think, about the Spirit's role in our lives. And when the Spirit descended on us, what that did and how it influences, you know, everything that we do.
Yeah, you're totally right. I We definitely don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit. And I think, yeah, it is. We love talking about Jesus. I wonder why that is. And I wonder if it's like a particularly like North American thing. I wonder if it's a particularly like majority like thing. I wonder if it's a particularly like post-Enlightenment thing. Like we Lutherans like to count ourselves as particularly reasonable and like believing in science.
Well, it also might be like, I don't know. It might be particularly kind of white thing too, but to say, I think you're right. Like, and that's just because I think, you know, Lutherans are really white in general, but the idea that like we do like be very like backed, I think kind of like focus, and I'm guilty of this too, right? Like we just have so much more, you know, information stories about Jesus that we can kind of work with, right? So like we can say, oh, Jesus said this and we talk about this, but you know, we don't get the same kind of information about the Holy Spirit. And so then it just I think we always are afraid to get into that territory of like, we'll make sure we're not making stuff up over here.
Right. Yeah. We also like visual aids, right? Like you can like you can draw a picture of Jesus and be like, that's Jesus, for all of the problems with that one. Or like we like baptism, like look, here's water. You can like splash in water, you know, the Holy Communion. You can taste and see that the Lord is good, et cetera, et cetera. But when we get in the Spirit, like it's relying a lot on like, he said, they said, you know?
I mean, like I see some like fire image though, right? Like as you're talking about splashing people with water, or like handing out communion, I'm like, oh man, I want to get like a thurible, but instead of just incense, it's just a fireball and just start whipping that around fire. The church. Yeah. Feel the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, of course we do have candles, and that's a safe alternative. But like
that's
bigger
not
fire,
nearly as much fun.
Right, not nearly as much fun. Yeah, a big fireball. I wonder what you could do.
Just kind of like, you know, just kind of swing it above everyone's heads.
Yeah. No. See,
remember Pentecost. You know, like remember your baptism.
I just know
remember
myself.
Your Pentecost.
My friend Anna, who is a pastor in New England, she always said that you want to come as close to burning the church down as possible without actually doing so.
Ooh.
You know.
That's really beautiful in so many ways.
Right. But which is ironic to celebrate the birthday of the church, right? And the giving of the Spirit, and yet also talking about maybe coming close to burning it down without doing it.
Yeah.
Actually.
But so something I would say with that, and definitely like a Holy Spirit inspired thing, is talking about this idea of kind of pushing, always kind of pushing ourselves a little bit, pushing the limits of people around you, pushing us to you know, expand our language for God, or push us to expand our inclusivity, or push us a little bit to, you know, open up or allow our faith to evolve just a little bit more.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think, I mean, on one hand, I kind of struggle with that, because you can never really know, like, when are we pushing? Like, right, what are we pushing towards? But I do think here, like, God is doing it. Mm-hmm. And like, whether you recognize it or not, mm-hmm. right, like that God is pushing us. I think like particularly my like new and old experience in New Jersey is that right, like as communities change so rapidly, that there are new people coming into your community, right? And so often if a new immigrant group or ethnic group comes in, or like you know, there's a town nearby that is recently become more of an LGBTQ destination, and then these churches continue not reaching out to their new neighbors, and then so often close, right? And it's like, here is God doing the moving, people are moving, right? Like here's what's going on. And like, you can either, like, God will act, and if moved by the Spirit, hopefully that means that you do embrace the diversity that's coming towards you and embrace the change. And because if not, but
I think in order to do that, like, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't know. I think that's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is that she's always continuing to, like, to change us, right? That our faith is not static. And I think that's the thing is maybe the best way to put it, right? Like, it's not static, it's dynamic. And so, you know, our faith isn't the same as it was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's certainly not the same as we were when we were a child, right? It grows and changes as our experiences do, and the influence of the Holy Spirit to allow us to learn and to grow, and to open ourselves up to more. And I don't say, like, different, I, like, genuinely say more. I think that, like, God has all of this abundance and diversity, abundance in gifts and everything in the world, right? And we maybe, like, think our cup is full. And then when we allow and open up a little more, then we realize we have more room in the cup. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so by allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to expand us and make our cup bigger, then we can make more room for the different things that God is trying to show us.
Yeah, certainly, right? Because, like, God's creation, God's expansive beauty, the diversity of everything is, like, simply too big to take in, right? Yeah. Like, and yet you can either be like, wow, marvelous, or I have more to learn, or you could be like, no, this is threatening, no thank you, God, and then, like, you miss out.
You're filled with you new wine.
Right, you're missing out on this new wine business, and it's because of God's grace that this is a gift, and we have these things.
Yeah. Yeah. You could on one hand be like, oh my gosh, look at this amazing gift, or you could be like, oh my gosh, they're filled with new wine. Get them out of here.
Right, seriously.
Yeah. Is that not like the perfect metaphor for, like, everything that we, like, do in church, right? Or, like, how we can respond, or how different churches respond? Are we accepting? Are we opening ourselves up to new gifts, or are we resistant? And we think those people are clearly out of their minds, or those people are clearly have gone too far, or they're clearly filled with new wine.
For sure. I mean, I think, like, both are good, right? Like, you need to, and this Holy Spirit helps us discern these things, you know, like, to be led, because not every new thing is fabulous. Not every new thing, you know, not every new thing is, like, you know, the best thing ever. I think of, like, I don't know, I hate to call people out, but glitter ashes, hate them. I hate them. Like, we have ashes. It's a sign of our mortality. Don't make them happy, right? If you do glitter ashes,
they're supposed to be happy.
Right. Don't make them happy. Like, right. But it's, like, a new thing. It's supposed to symbolize, like, LGBT.
Glitter ashes make them happy.
Oh, well, I mean, I think they make them much harder to clean up and kind of stupid looking. But, like, you know, we've got these pretty good, we've got these perfectly good, you know, dirt to smear on our face. But, like, why the glitter? But I, to pick an example, right? But also, if you say, oh, I'm never going to think about it, right? We, like, there is this balance. I do believe that because you can, change can be unmooring, and yet there are the constant things in our faith. For example, the grace and love of God, right? That that help us to change, and it's not threatening. Sorry for the glitter ashes, people.
I mean, I have glitter ashes on the shelf behind me. But do it's you? Fine. That's a thing do we you? Don't need to argue about right it's now, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the current topic at hand. No, I was thinking about, like, oh, actually, nope, my thought's totally gone.
Sorry.
Because you got me thinking about the glitter ashes again.
The glitter ashes. Well, we can talk. One of the things that popped into my head early in our conversation that I want to come back to, we were talking about ecstatic speech and all of that stuff, which I know briefly talked to, we'll leave it in the past. But the word that really stuck out to me as you were reading this was hearing. Like everyone's focused on speech. Maybe you covered this 2 years ago. But, like, everyone's focused on speech, but it's, like, much more, like, we hear them speaking about God's, like, we hear in our own language. How is it that we hear, each of us, we hear them? And, like, listen to what I say, right?
Maybe that's the gift. It's not that they're speaking in different tongues. It's the fact that people can hear it.
That people can hear. You know? The Holy Spirit is like that funky plastic thing that goes on your ear when you visit the United Nations. You know, like that.
Yeah.
It's an interpreter, right?
Yeah. Like,
but,
and maybe that's a gift. And that's a, you know, that's the gift right there, that you're given the gift of being able to hear and discern God's good news.
Right. Right. Ironic that like we're gabbing constantly, right? Like to fill to fill the space when maybe the whole thing is about listening.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, like everyone else that's involved in this is listening.
Is listening. Oof. Yeah. Gotta be rough.
To us.
It's also, you know, two frantic extroverts talking about the Bible too is like, you know.
Do you know what? Sometimes I think that's why some of the good conversation comes out this way, is because I have people in here that like to talk, think out loud. And so you just get to hear like the inner thoughts of pastors that you don't normally, you know, get to hear. Cause a lot of the times, like, you know, by the time it gets to a sermon that we've tamped it a little bit. Right. But on the
that
podcast, it's just, this is raw. This is raw data.
It is totally raw data. Yeah, I like to pretend, you know, that by the time I give a sermon, I have like it distilled down to like one point, you know, and but no, this is like, it's just so much.
I think, you know, that to me, you know, I always like to find, if I do find one sort of like preaching point, I think that's what we preach, right? That like the gift is in the hearing.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're given on Pentecost, is the hearing piece, to be able to the gift of hearing how God's speaking through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And like, yes, that's great. I think that's going to be my sermon on Pentecost. And also like,
you're welcome.
Thank you. Because like,
it's
totally the gift of hearing. It's like the Holy Spirit, like, you can go like, again, get real Lutheran and be like, how does God call us? By the word of God. How do we hear it? By the Spirit, right? Oh, how do we hear it? By the Spirit. Okay, maybe
that's it. You even have a chant to go with your sermon.
How do we hear it? By the Spirit. This is my glitter ashes.
These are the beautiful things that come out only when you let us loose on a podcast.
Let us loose, as half of your listeners drive off the road. They're just I have lost the will. No, but but not in this case. Please keep 10 and 2 people.
Keep driving,
But the I listen to podcasts when I drive. This is why my mind immediately goes to driving. But especially too for a confirmation sermon, like perfect.
I think
you
once told me that like you listen to podcasts while you run. And that's not normal.
No. While I run, while I mow the lawn, and while I drive.
Well, mowing the lawn makes sense.
Yeah. Mowing the lawn is,
I mean, same. Yeah. But also, yes, your confirmation sermon.
Right? Because like you do want to, you know, they say confirmation is not like a graduation, right? And certainly you hope not, right? Birthday of the church, hopefully birthday of your voting membership in St. Lutheran Church, right?
Means you'll come back next year.
Right. But there is,
that's why we look at it as a graduation, right? And then, you know, you graduate and you're done. And it's like,
oh yeah, they're gone forever. Never
absolutely
coming.
Not. We'd like
right.
To see
like traditionally it's like right when they have children is when they come back. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Which millennials.
I've actually said that to a couple of, there's some people around here that are like super active. And I'm like, it's fine. Wait till they have kids. I'll be back.
Well, and you know what the great thing is, I'm finding, at least in the congregation I serve, is that millennials are coming back to church and bringing their children. And I love hearing like some of our older members being like, what's with all these new people? Like they're complaining. Like there's all these people I don't know. What are they doing here?
That thing you said you've wanted for years and years and years.
Yeah, you said it. but anyway, like there is this element of graduation-ish, right? Like you've completed a thing. And there is, right? Like you do want to give a little bit of advice and encouragement, I think, in the sermon, specifically directed at the confirmands and something like, right, like the gift of hearing, it's very good. Of course, it's the gospel, right? Like, and it requires nothing from us. It's what God does for us. And yet, like the reminder that maybe we should listen a little bit is really good to hear in your teenage years. I certainly needed to hear it when I was that age. And today, I need to hear it today.
But did you hear it?
Absolutely. Have I stopped talking this whole time?
You know what, though? I'll add on to this whole graduation piece of like this. This kind of feels like the disciples' graduation.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you know,
yes.
Like they did all the following of Jesus. You know, that went how it went. They did all their learning. They went to their school with Jesus every day. And then, you know, Jesus, death, resurrection. Well, now we're here. And we're like, okay, so here's it. You're graduated. It's now your job to take over. Here's the last thing that I'm going to give you to kind of, you know, give you that push. Here's your graduation gift.
Right. And your graduation gift is literally the Spirit of God dwelling in you. It's a great gift.
It is. It's a great gift.
You know? Yes.
It's sort of a necessary, like, you know, again, going back to video games, necessary, like, level up to be able to do the next thing, right? It's not that you're done. Just because you're done with this part doesn't mean you're done. It means you're done with this level.
And, yeah, and commencement, what's the next level? Means beginning. Yeah. It you could definitely tie it to graduation. And, like, it's, right? Like, yeah, Jesus is no longer there to, like, be physically there teaching you.
Yep.
So here's the Spirit. Do your thing.
That's what you need for the next level.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Oh, I also thought of a sermon illustration. It would be like how every graduation year, like the two semi-popular tone-deaf girls would get up and sing For Good from Wicked, you know?
Oh, yeah. That happened in my graduation.
Right, right. It's, again, a very millennial thing, but like you just, you know. And they're like really desperately trying to nail that duet part towards the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, who can say I've been changed for the better, but I've been changed for good, right?
Yeah. So. Ooh. Yeah. See, look. You're right. A whole graduation ceremony right here.
Well, even if your readers take nothing from this, listeners, I have taken something from this, and therefore this podcast is a success.
Sure. And, you know, that makes it useful to your time as well.
Right. Right.
Sometimes I feel like my guests are like, why are we talking about this? This is not helpful for me. And I'm like, but it's helpful for other people. And that's just the point.
Oh, that's good. Well.
But for you, I'm happy to see that you also got something out of it.
Yes. Well, I'm just more self-centered. What can I say?
I mean, but you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the great folks at St. Stephen's Lutheran Church.
Yes, for sure. That's very kind.
There it is.
Gosh, it is really just like an A+ story from the Bible.
Yeah.
And like Acts 2, man.
That's also, I mean, that's why we read it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a few of those.
Yeah.
Easter, it's just really fun. Christmas, Doubting Thomas, Acts 2.
I love Doubting Thomas.
Those are the key ones. I know, we got to rename it.
Yeah. There's like some meme going around. It's like, how do you like to call it? Like, why is it not Denying Peter or, you know, like poor Doubting Thomas? I think didn't our Bible professor call him Conditional Thomas?
I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that, but I like that. Conditional Thomas.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if it was Dr. Carlson or Dr. Hoffman.
That might have been a Carlson thing because I didn't get to have him.
Oh, you didn't?
He was 1 foot out the door when I was there.
Oh, well.
Happens.
Yeah.
The whole situation was kind of everyone was 1 foot out the door, but they recovered.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I was there when the, you know.
I know. I'm. What's that?
Okay.
New beginnings. Anyways. Enroll today.
Been good stuff. No, we actually just took a training with him recently. It's good.
Yes. Yeah, it is. I've
almost forgiven them.
It's tough, right? Change is tough. That's another thing. The beautiful thing about this, right? Like, huge change, right? Like, that could be, like, an illustration for a sermon on Acts 2. like the you know, the movement of a seminary from one version of itself to another, change is hard.
You know, and still relevant, at least in the southern part of the United States, the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary campus is closing and is officially migrating to Hickory, North Carolina. So there's another, you know, some seminary transition. And in these times of transition, right, so like you have one thing ending, but something else is beginning. And what is it? What do we listen? Do we hear God and moving in that opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. And that'll certainly preach. That's something that you could do in any context because change is constant, right?
Yeah.
Like, for sure. And like, talk
about
it. Some
change is bad. Don't put glitter in the ashes.
Don't put glitter. Yes. Okay. Now I'm softening on it because I know and respect you and I know you do it. Does that make sense?
I haven't done it since I was in New Jersey, but like, I have some and understand the purpose and the beauty of them being there. And now I have to say it because folks that probably don't know what glitter ashes are. We've been talking about this the whole time. So glitter ashes was a movement that kind of came about as sort of a remembering to honor and remember the sins against the LGBT community in particular, as well as, you know, when we talk about, you know, Psalm 51 and remorse and our own mortality and our own sins with regular ashes, it's now also, it's just adding that extra layer of acknowledging that against the LGBT community in particular. And I think that there are times and places when that's appropriate, depending on your community and maybe the focus, or if you are somewhere where there has been particular violence against the LGBT community, then that is a beautiful and welcoming thing to have. But it does make them extra messy. You are correct.
No, well, thank you for helping me hear this anew. Because my experience with this has been, we're LGBT affirming and you are saved and fabulous. But remembering the sins and the violence against the LGBTQ community, I think recenters that on Ash Wednesday in a beautiful way. So
you don't have to use them if you don't want
Holy Spirit being moved, right? Look at me. I'm changing my mind on the glitter ashes.
And, you know, every community is different. And to say that some change is good for your community while it's not good for others is also different, too, right? Like, there, I think about, for me, I think about the things like contemporary music and like the huge like movement of like contemporary worship bands and stuff in the early 2000s of like, whose church didn't have a youth band at the time? Like, we sure did. And, you know, I think that there are some communities that like, I've been a part of communities that like do contemporary music really well, and it enhances their community, and it is an edifying tool for them in their worshiping community. And it's not that way for everyone, and everyone doesn't get those same things out of it. So, that's what you said, glitter ashes, and my brain went to worship bands.
Worship bands. That's, yeah.
But to say the same thing with glitter ashes, right? Like, there are places that is culturally and, you know, appropriate for the community, and it works for them, but not everywhere.
Sure. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I love universalizing my experience. That's just, you know, it's my favorite thing.
It's about me. Thank you.
It's about me. Thank you.
Exactly,
you know, if
what
you
the gospel says right there. It's just me.
Exactly. You can also buy my new Bible out. It's $60. It's the God Bless the USA Bible. No, but what was I going to say? You know, like often, right? Like we shouldn't miss it. And honestly, I hate to relate it to our Bible passage, but you have a very good point, right? Like that what works for one community, like in culture, right? Like in the community's culture, need not work for every single other community for it to be valid. And that like,
we don't all have to speak French to be good Christians.
Exactly. And yet the Holy Spirit holds us in communion together, right? And that there is, like, we can have diversity, and that can be lived out in our congregations. It doesn't even have to be these like commonly socially accepted, like socially defining features. Our diversity is more expansive than that. It can be contemporary versus regular, you know, contemporary versus quote traditional worship, right? Or glitter ashes versus good ashes, or like or like, you know, it can't, right? Like different worshiping language.
Tiny cups versus common cup.
Right, exactly.
Grape juice versus wine.
Communion practices, which that's the easiest way to guarantee being yelled at, is to change communion practices at all.
That'd be good.
People,
we did something different around here a few weeks ago and people still haven't stopped talking about it. I wouldn't say complaints, right, but like it was notable.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
My wife's called me twice now, so I think I might have to go.
Well, be sure to
listen. I don't know if I'm going to have to be heavy-handed with the editing or not, but I've had a lot of fun watching this episode and think that there's a lot of good stuff about diversity and the Holy Spirit in here, and so I hope others heard that too. Thank you, Joe, so much
for joining us. Thanks, AJ. This was a lot of fun. I hope you could use it.
You can learn more about the podcast at 10footpolepodcast.com and find us on Facebook and Instagram at 10footpolepodcast and wherever you listen to podcasts. As always, the 10 Football Podcast is a ministry of the Delaware, Maryland Synod. To learn more, go to DEMDSynod.org. And don't
you just hear screams coming from Delaware?
Say things.